Let me grab my, whoop, I'm missing stuff. Ha. There we go. All right. First off, how many of you have attended a DHT before? All right, good deal. All right. How many of you have no idea what you're going to hear this week? Oh, okay. All right. Well, how many of you are sick and need healing? Okay, yeah, usually about 90%. Almost everywhere, it's always about the same. How many of you don't need healing? Yeah, that's about the other 10%. Okay, that's good. I think I saw some hands both times. I'm not sure. So, all right. It's always good to know why you are somewhere. Oh, by the way, just real quick, before I lose the jacket and all that stuff, I do have a suit. I'm a real preacher. They say you have to have a suit to be a preacher. That's what I was told. I don't know. So I have a suit. So at some point I'll be losing the jacket and all that stuff, because this was only made, suits were only made for one thing, and that's that. So I'm not doing that. I'll be losing this. Today it's suit, and tomorrow probably blue jeans and boots and back to normal. Okay, so that's good to be alive. Amen. Not stiff. So, it's always good to know why you are somewhere, why you're there, why you're listening. I know when I've sat in seminars and gone to different meetings, you know, a couple of things always went through my head. Number one, always tried to understand, why was I there? What did I plan to get? You know, why would I attend a seminar? What was I going there for? Because it can be you're just here just because there's a meeting going on and you just like to fellowship and, you know, soak, as some people would say. That's fine too. Generally, you get more out of a meeting if you go with a purpose. And so that's one of the reasons why I'm asking about this, is because I want you, because I can't ask all of you individually why you're here and have you tell me, but it'd be good if you know why you're here and just kind of have it laid out in your mind. What do you expect for the outcome to be of these meetings? And so some of this I would even ask, it's good to know why you're here, but it's also good to know, I know when I used to go to seminars a lot, I don't get to go sit in many anymore, but I always thought two things. Number one, why was I there? Number two, why should I listen to this guy or this lady, or, you know, why should I listen to them? Who are they? Why should I be there and give them my time and take my hard-earned money and go to the meeting and pay for hotels or pay for the gas and all the stuff that goes into coming to a meeting? And so, you know, we're going to talk about some of that in the very beginning. And I will tell you this, what I'm going to teach this week, if you've not heard the DHT or if you don't know what we're going to be talking about other than the fact that it's about healing, I can honestly say that I am very privileged and pleased to be able to tell you that I will not be teaching you any theory. None of this is theory. None of this is opinion. Right? What we will tell you, we will show you from the Word of God. It is clearly written. It's not going to be my opinion or my interpretation of it. It's going to be what it says. And so, and as far as theory, there is no theory to it. Everything we're going to be teaching, we do live and have lived and have done and have proven. So it's not a matter of somebody told me this, then they got it from somebody else that heard somebody else do it. We've done this. We are still doing it. We see it work. I have been involved in, well, every move of God that's come along since I've been alive, I've been a part of. I've tried to jump into it, find out what's going on, especially in the areas of healing. For various reasons, I've always been interested in healing. I have studied under the best people in the world when it comes to healing, the power of God, just the Bible in general. And I can honestly say that what I'm teaching here this week, if I knew of anything better, I would be doing that. This is the best I have found. And it's the only thing I found that matches with the Bible all the way through. Just very honest. Now, there are other camps out there that get good results. We'll be talking about some various aspects of it, but it's not just about results, even though I am extremely results-oriented. just as I believe God is. At the same time, our results must be biblical. And there are groups out there, various, not Christian groups, but just various groups, that get results. And yet we're not going to promote that. We promote Bible. And we promote being doctrinally accurate, scripturally accurate, and results proven. So that's kind of the overall. So, there's a lot of things that if you don't know who I am, if you've not heard our message or where we came from, then if I said some things a certain way, you may take it wrong at the beginning. You know, some things I'd rather say at the end of the meeting after you know me a little bit better and you know my heart. Because if I say them right now, you might think you might take them the wrong way. But I'm just going to go ahead and say some things pretty bluntly, okay? I'm here because I can't be everywhere. And I get calls from all over the world, from people who are dying, loved ones who have other loved ones who are dying. Many times we get calls from people who are from loved ones who their loved ones have died. And the reason I'm here sharing what I've learned is because I cannot be everywhere. What we do, what we share, works. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It just works. It's Bible. If I could be everywhere, I wouldn't have to teach you. I could just go do it all myself. But the one thing I've learned is there are so many sick and hurting and dying people that they can't wait till I get there. So we were doing this in our home. We were seeing results. And from early on, I knew that whatever I've ever learned from the Bible had to be shared, and especially if it worked. And so we immediately began teaching. I'll share some of this as we go along, but I'm not here to do a stadium meeting and have everybody come to my healing line. I'm here to teach you how to minister healing. There are some basic things that we're going to have to cover. And to begin with, again, saying some things that I'm trying to make it as easy as I can, but no matter how easy I try to make it, it's still going to come out blunt. All right? The reason you're here is because what you've learned doesn't work.
That's right.
Right? Or at least not as well as you would like it to. So let's be real straight about it. The reason I'm here is because what I learn works. It gets the best results of anything I've ever seen. It is phenomenal in the results that it gets. And one of the things that stands out about it is that it doesn't matter who's doing it. It's not about a gift. We're not going to be teaching on, well, we may be talking a little bit about gifts, but this is not a spiritual gift seminar. This is a believer seminar. This is a Mark 16, believers lay hands on the sick and they recover. That's what this seminar is about. This is not about anointings. It's not about impartations. It's not about soakings. It's not about any of that. It's about what Jesus did. And he didn't do any of that. Right? So, again, I'm not trying to be mean or anything like that, or rude even. But invariably, we have people that want to argue. I'm not here to argue. Right? This works. And to be very honest with you, I don't care what your background is. I don't care where you come from. I don't care what church you go to. I'm not here to argue your statement of faith from your church, what you believe or how you do it. If you want to believe what you believe and do how you do it, then go do a seminar. Right? But that ain't this one. All right? And to be very honest with you, like I said in the beginning, I've been on the road 4 weeks. I'm not real toward arguments, okay? I've heard it all, okay, in the last 4 weeks. So the bad part is you're the last stop on this trip, okay? So it's going to be very blunt, all right? But the beauty is this will work. And it is just, what I love about it most is, you know, the amazing thing is, we have manuals. We have them back there on the table. If you don't have one, I think they're 25. I'm not sure. 25, yes. But we will be working with the manual. But a lot of times as I'm teaching, you'll see I won't even open the manual. But if you look in the manual, you'll find what I'm saying. But the reason being is I don't have to open the manual. I know the manual. Right? I wrote it. Okay? I don't have to go buy it. I wrote it. It comes out. Okay? The first time it came out, I wrote it down. After that, now it just comes out. Okay? So we will be covering the manual. We won't cover it in order. We're going to... The skeleton of what we teach is always the same. What differs is how God puts the flesh and the muscle and all of the aspects of the body back together, because that's based on who's here and when they're going to be here. There are some things that I normally bring out in the beginning that sometimes don't come out toward the end, because there was someone that didn't make it at the beginning session, but they'll be at the end session and they need to hear it. And so how it comes out is by the Spirit. That it comes out is a fact of the skeleton of how God put it all together. So we will cover all that. Now, there are a couple of things, though, I do want to share with you. Excuse me. A couple of questions here. Yes. How many of you are here because you either know someone who is sick, or you have lost a loved one to sickness or disease, and you want to learn how not to let that happen again? Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay, well, those of you... If roughly 30 years ago, 30 years ago this year, I was exactly where you were. I lost a daughter, and I did everything that I was taught, and it still didn't work. It was kind of working, but not good enough, and she died before we got it working good enough. So that started me on a journey to find the truth about healing. And I can give it to you. I can sum it up in kind of real simple statements, really. Basically, the church does everything backwards as a whole. I'm not talking about a church. If I say the church, I'm talking about the body of Christ as a whole. I'm not talking about any local fellowship. But as a whole, the church does healing totally backwards from the Bible. So really, the short course of this is very simple. If you really want to know how to minister healing according to the Bible, just take everything you've learned in church and do the opposite. Okay? That's the fastest way. It'll get you there faster, okay? Now, there were a couple of things. And let me ask you this. How many of you are familiar with Dr. John G. Lake? Oh, good. Okay. We will be covering some of his information, but I do want to point out some key things at first. Now, we will be running in roughly 45-minute segments, and then we'll take about a 15-minute break in between. I will tell you the breaks are for me, not for you. All right? Because I'm up here talking all day long and standing while you're sitting. Right? So whenever we get a break, I'm going to probably sit. And so if I have to, I'll sit in the back room, but I mean, I'll mingle and we're going to talk and I'm going to fellowship with you because I want to get to know you. At the same time, if you have questions, I guarantee you, in the last 10, 15 years, I have not heard a new question. All right? All questions about healing, the power of God, along those lines, all fall within about 8 or 10 categories. And they're all variations. So if you have a question, almost all of your questions are going to be answered automatically during the course of the training. Now, if you get a manual, in the back of the manual, we have about 20 pages of questions. Those are the most common questions that we hear. And so If you get a manual, get the manual, look in the back, see if your question is there. It may have already been answered in the back of the manual. If it's not, take a piece of paper and write your question down. If you'll write it down and during the break, bring it up here, and you can either put it up here on the platform or up here on the pulpit somewhere, I will get them and I'll read through them. And if I'm going to answer it during the course, you know, during the time of the course, then I may not read it out and answer it directly. If it is a question that is not directly answered during the teaching, then I may read it and answer it specifically. But it's much better, probably at least three or four other people in this room will have exactly the same question you have. So rather than me answering three or four different people at different times and you just walking up and asking me the question, write it down and let me answer it for everybody so I can answer four or five different people's questions at the same time, right? And plus that covers a lot more ground a lot faster and it gets less... if you ask me the question, I don't want to hurt anybody. At the same time, I want to make sure that I answer you accurately and biblically. So you will get a more direct answer by writing it down. Because if you ask me face to face, I'll tell you the truth, but I'm going to say it, it has to come out longer. Because the longer you say something, usually the easier it hits. If you just say it in a statement, it hits too hard and offends people or hurts people. But if I read it, I can just read it directly because I'm not reading it to you. And then if you get hurt, it's on your end, not on my end. Right? I'm just answering a question. Okay? So write your questions down. Try to keep your questions to healing and the power of God. Right? Other stuff, we're not really here to cover at this point. So now that could also include casting out devils, things like that. Things that have to do with you helping people. All right? So, now, two things here. I'm trying to watch my time, make sure I do this right. There is... get this thing off. There we go. Now, just some basic questions here. Number one, statements. Number one, Jesus never taught healing. All right? Just, you might want to write that down. Jesus never taught healing. What he taught was the gospel of the kingdom. Then he demonstrated the kingdom by healing. He didn't always explain it. He didn't always tell why. He didn't always tell how. There are a couple of things that you're going to see as we go through the training is that even during Moses' day, it was said that Israel knew the actions of God. They saw his acts, his wonders, his signs and miracles. But God knew, or Moses knew, God's ways. So the general public only saw what God did. Moses knew how he did it. This seminar is about how God does it. It's about how to do it. It's not just about seeing it done, but if you understand how and why, you will see a whole lot more done. Right? Now, in that, Jesus didn't teach healing. Like I said, he taught the gospel of the kingdom, the good news of the kingdom, the superiority of God, basically is what it comes down to. And then he demonstrated that kingdom with signs and wonders, which always went toward helping somebody or setting somebody free. Now, a couple of things. What Jesus did teach was union and fellowship with God. So that should be a key to us. Now, bottom line, there's some real simple things, and healing, honestly, is extremely simple. We have made it theological when God never meant for it to be theological in our sense of a theological system. See, that's... here is where, and I'm kind of giving you a brief overview, here is where we are as a people. You're here because you want to learn. All right, so first off, let's look at how far you've come. There was probably a time in your life when you weren't even sure that God still healed today. Maybe you didn't even know that He would heal. Maybe you didn't even know that He ever healed. And yet, here you are today coming to a seminar to be taught how to minister healing. So first off, you ought to just pat yourself on the back that you've come that far. Amen? So you're here to actually learn how to do it. Now, that says a whole lot about you. Number one, it says that you believe, and I'm just sharing some things that you already know and believe. Number one, it says that you believe that you can actually learn this so that you can do it. Right?
Amen. That's right.
So that means that if you believe that you can learn it so that you can go do it, it also means, since you're here, you believe that I can teach you how to learn it so you can go do it.
That's right.
Amen? So based on that fact, at least given the benefit of the doubt that I know what I'm talking about. All right? I will give you testimonies, but even the testimonies, I could stand here for easily 2 weeks and do nothing but testimonies. Nothing. I'm talking no teaching, just testimony after testimony after testimony. Okay? The few testimonies that we will be giving, I say few, it's actually quite a few, but the testimonies we will actually be sharing with you, the only reason I tell them is not for you to sit there and ooh and ah over it. It is, each testimony has a principle. So when I give the testimony, don't just listen to the spectacular aspect of it, but rather listen to the principle behind it. Why did it work? How did it work? Because what we're going to find is this healing is extremely simple. It is so simple that our problem is we have become like the Pharisees. And the simple, grab it, understand it, and run with it. But many times we spend so much time analyzing it that we actually talk ourselves out of it. Now, we're going to be talking about healing all week. Most of what I do, and this is the beauty of the ministry that God has put us in. For the next 3 days, I'm going to take all of the traditions of men that man has built up in the church over the last 2,000 years, especially concerning power and healing, and we are going to destroy those traditions. Now, let's get some real, you know, I'm laying groundwork, right? So let's get some real basic ground rules in place. Number one, Jesus only gave two reasons for failure. Only two, right? Only two. Not 15, only two. Number one, He said, because of your unbelief. Right? So that's the first one. Now, how many of you are unbelievers? Nobody. All right. So how many of you are believers? Okay, so unbelief is not your problem. Right? You're not here because you don't believe in healing. You're here because you believe in healing. Right? So unbelief is not your problem. You're already ahead of the game as far as you already know more. I guarantee you, if you've been in church more than a week, you know more than any one person that walked up to Jesus for healing knew when they walked up to Him. Right? Now, I'm not here just to give you a new doctrine, because doctrine in and of itself doesn't heal, but I am here to make sure that your doctrine is accurate. Okay? So the first reason for failure that Jesus gave was because of your unbelief. Number two, He said that because of your traditions, you make the Word of God of none effect. So if you read in the Bible that a believer can lay hands on the sick, and the sick are supposed to recover, and if that's what you've read, and then you don't see that happening, then the answer is you believe a tradition that is making the Word of God of none effect in your life. Isn't that simple? You say, well, what about this thing? What about that thing? What about this curse and that thing and this thing? And no. Well, yeah, those are traditions of men. And as long as you believe them, they will stop you. Right? But once you get rid of those traditions, the Word of God works. So what we're going to do for the next 3 days is we're going to take all the traditions that has been built up concerning healing and the power of God. We're going to destroy them so that all that is left is the Word of God. And whenever we get rid of the traditions that make the Word of God of none effect, and those are all gone, and all that's left is the Word of God, guess what? It works. Amen? Now, let me tell you this. I don't know you. I know a couple of you that I've met in other places. But as a whole, I don't know you. I don't know you well enough to be saying anything against you. So if I say something that hits you, I didn't know it. Okay? So don't think I'm pointing you out, because I'm not, right? If, believe me, if I wanted to point you out, I would. All right? I have no problem with pointing you out. The Bible says to mark those who walk unruly. I have no problem saying, excuse me, would you come see this person right here? Okay, they're living in open sin. I had no problem doing that, right? But I don't know any of you well enough to know to do that, so you're safe, right? Now, but in that, we're going to be saying some things that are very directly pointed toward possibly some things you believe. I will give you scripture for everything that we're saying. Okay? Now, one thing to note, get this out of the way, there we go, is that in the epistles, from Romans on, almost every epistle was written because of a problem in the church. They were almost all written to correct some major problems. So when we talk about getting back to the early church, well, we need to get back to the church in the book of Acts. Yeah, I think so. We need some more Ananias and Sapphira's dropping dead. You sure you want to go back there? First off, the book of Acts, the church in the book of Acts was not a mature church. It was a baby church. They were figuring things out. They were playing it by ear, mostly, trying to figure out how they should do things. Many times it says, it seemed good to us and the Holy Ghost. Well, it didn't sound like they had a plan. So, but whenever you start reading about the epistles, and you start reading through the epistles from Romans on, it's really amazing because, and I'm going to give you a secret right here. This is a very simple statement, but you need to look at how far it reaches, right? Because the ramifications are staggering, okay? Every problem in every church that Paul or anybody else wrote to, he would always say, here's the problem. Here's how you fix it. But then he would also go into the underlying problem under the problem. And the answer was always the same. Die and let Christ live through you. Every time. Now that's an amazing statement. What that means is that every problem faced had to do with something with the people who had not laid down their lives. People, and here's the main thing. Every one of Paul's epistles, every one of them goes into who they were in Christ and who Christ was in them. So apparently the answer wasn't breaking this thing, having hands laid on you, getting a blessing, getting an impartation. It was you knowing who Christ is in you. So this seminar, even though we're going to be talking about healing, and we're going to be talking about wrong doctrine, and we're going to be sharing and replacing the wrong doctrine with accurate doctrine, but the key is this. This seminar, even though you're coming to learn about healing, and we're going to talk about healing, it's not about healing. Jesus didn't heal because he could heal. He didn't heal by a gift. He didn't heal by an anointing. I will prove all these things that I'm saying. He healed because he knew who he was. He knew who the Father was in him. Even Jesus himself said, the things that I do, I'm not doing them. The Father in me, he does the works. So even Jesus didn't take credit for a healing. Now think about that. So it had to be, and as you read, and it's amazing. The answer to every problem is this. Any promise you see in the Bible that you're not seeing the results of in your life, any promise that says you can lay hands on a sick and they shall recover, any promise you read that gives you some type of promise that says that you can do something, and if you're not seeing that in your life, as I said, it goes back usually to a tradition of men, but I'm going to narrow it down a little bit more. It goes back to this. You either don't know what happened at the new birth, or you're not walking in the benefits of the new birth. That's it. Bottom line, that's it. So once you find out who you are in Christ and who He is in you, healing's no longer a problem. Now, I'm saying these statements and they're just, you know, I'm just shooting them out there. But you have to realize how far-reaching this is. What this comes back to is this. The answer to your results lies within you. Right? It does not lie within the sick person that you're going to lay hands on. That means it does not lie in you breaking something over their life in the sense of something that they've done, some sin that has incurred the wrath of God. It does not involve you breaking a generational curse over their life. It does not involve them at all. They are simply the battleground where you, filled with the Spirit of God, are going to meet and defeat the devil.
Amen.
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 Amen? Is that real simple? Because let's just get some things real simply settled. If a person is dead, they're not going to have faith to raise themselves from the dead. Okay? So you're going to have faith for them. Right? Now, if you can have faith for a dead person, why can't you have faith for a live person?
Amen.
Amen? Now, I will admit, sometimes it's easier to pray for a dead person to come back than it is to pray for a live person. Especially if the live person is religious. Because they will have every tradition of man that you can think of built up as a stronghold in their brain to try to argue with you over why God can't heal them, won't heal them, or, you know, He's putting off their healing for some future time. Sometimes it's easier to just let them go into a coma and then go pray for them. Right? So, we're going to look at, later on, what we are called to suffer, but sickness and disease isn't one of them. Matter of fact, the only thing up until the whipping post and the cross, the only thing that Jesus ever suffered was people. And if you've been in ministry any length of time, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Okay? So, you're not called to suffer sickness, disease, all those things. All right? Now, so the first thing, the epistles were written to correct wrong doctrine, to correct a problem, and the answer was always finding out who is in you. So a lot of what we're going to be talking about is who is in you and why that can work to overcome any obstacle you may face. Now, one of the first things, there's a couple, and again, right now this is kind of introductory, so we'll be coming back and hitting all these things specifically. I'll be giving you scripture on them and taking you through them very systematically. And I guarantee if you'll pay attention and even make notes, I promise you, if you've not heard this before, especially, just be ready, right? Because we're going to have 3 days. Really, we should be doing this. Well, when Dr. Lake taught this, it took him 30 days, right? We're going to do it in three. So what does that mean? That means by the end of each day, your head's going to feel like it's going to explode from just information, right? We're going to be putting out a lot of information. I don't know anybody that gets it first sitting. Okay? I didn't get it first sitting. You know, the one thing is, and this is one of my complaints, and I don't have a lot, right? I don't have many regrets. I'm telling you, I have no regrets to speak of. God has been amazingly great to us. So I have no complaints, no regrets. My only regret is I waited so long to get started. Should have started way before. But my only complaint is that I didn't get this like you're getting it. I didn't get to go somewhere and sit and listen to it straight through. I got it piece by piece over a period of years. And so it built, which gave me time to walk each part out, which helped quite a bit actually. But I didn't get the full impact of it at one time. And the beauty of it is, if you are open to truth, and we prayed back there in the back a while ago that you would be, so you are, then you're going to be just, I want to say overwhelmed, but it's not in a bad way. It's just going to be, what it's going to be is this. You're going to be completely flooded with the water of the Word of God. And you're going to be filled to overflowing, and it's going to flush out all the garbage that's in there that stops you from getting the results that God has promised that you should have. Amen? So, some of the things that you've done, the way you've done them in the past, you're going to say, well, that's what we did. That's what I did. How come it didn't work then? It's because back then you still had some traditions that stood in the way. It's kind of like driving your car with an emergency brake on. You know, it'll go, but something ain't right. You know, you can feel it. There's something kind of holding you back. That's exactly the way these traditions of men do the body of Christ. You're moving forward. You're seeing some results. You're getting toward where you want to go. You just don't get there fast enough. And yet, something's just not right. And so, what I'm here to do is help you take that emergency brake off so you can fly down the road. Amen? Now, this is very simple. Simple stuff. And the beauty of it is, I get to do exactly what Jesus did. Jesus was always telling people, well, religious leaders, usually. He was always saying, you've heard it said. And then he would quote something. And he'd say, but I say unto you. And then he would change it. And the funny thing is, what he quoted was not the Bible. When he said, you've heard it said, what he quoted were the traditions of the elders. But when he changed it and said, you've heard it said, but then he said, but I say unto you, then he quoted Scripture. So the traditions of men always move away from Scripture. See, we have in the church, we have developed exactly what the religious leaders of Jesus' day had. They had developed an oral tradition which superseded the Scriptures. And they had heard their oral traditions for so long that they thought that their oral traditions was Scripture. And so then they would read Scripture, and then their commentaries on it would deny Scripture, but people would believe the commentaries more than they believe the Scripture. That's where the church is today. We have allowed people to lower the Word of God to meet our experience, rather than to raise our experience to meet the standard of the Word of God. So this week, we're going to see what the standard actually is, and then we're going to ignore, get rid of, destroy traditions and anything else that would, even our own experiences, that would hinder, hold back, or try to convince us that this Word isn't true. There are no buts about this Word. Amen? Amen? This Word works. So, now, I'm trying to keep watch my time here. I'm trying to get you out of here on time. So, two things very quickly. What does the word salvation mean? Well, it's pretty simple. In the New Testament, in the Strong's Concordance, it's number 4991, and the word is soteria. And it means literally to rescue or safety. Now notice, rescue is an action, safety is a state. Right? And it means both. It can mean physically or morally. And in the King James Version, it is always translated as to deliver, health, salvation, save, or saving. Now, very quickly. Many of you probably remember the story of the Titanic. The Titanic sunk. Many people drowned. Many of them survived floating around in the frigid waters of the North Atlantic. There were ships around. The Carpathia was one of them. And whenever they finally came to rescue the survivors, what did they do? Now, if you saw the movie Titanic, you have an idea. Whenever the Carpathia came in and found the survivors, the survivors were floating, sometimes with life preservers, sometimes on pieces of wreckage, sometimes in even some of the lifeboats. Whenever the rescue ships appeared, what they did not do, they did not throw lines to the people and tell them to hang on to the rope and we'll be in New York before too long. All right? They didn't just drag them through the water. Okay? They weren't trying to get them to do the body surfing or any of that other stuff that they do, right? What did they do? They pulled them into the boat. They took them out of the water. Right? They were rescued. They were saved. It's not enough that you are saved in the sense of you've grabbed hold of the rope, but you're still just treading water. Amen. You've been rescued. That means that your danger of dying from the situation you were in is no longer there. Right? What Jesus did was a total salvation. He rescued you. He didn't just leave you, well, get sick and I'll heal you again. Don't worry about it. Every time you get sick, you're going to get sick. That's just life. So every time you get sick, don't worry. I'll be there with power to heal you. That is not God's plan. God wants you to be healed, whole, and healthy. He wants you to be an example of His life living through a person so that wherever you go, that life emanates from you to the degree that people around you get healed just because they are in the glow of God living in you. Amen? Now, the closest we see to that in the Bible is Peter. And they talk about Peter's shadow overshadowing some people. And it wasn't Peter's shadow that healed. All that means is they got close enough to him that the power of God, the life of God flowing off of him, was able to heal their bodies, so they were just around it. That's the way it should be. People ought to be clamoring to get around you, just to be in your presence, so that they can get healed. Now, if you have to lay hands on them, remember, Mark 16 is for a sign. Right? The reason you lay hands on the sick, it's not... Now, there are systematic, and what you're going to find over the next couple of days is that this, everything we're going to be talking about, is amazingly scientific. It is proven scientific. It does not violate science. It is amazing. You lay hands on the sick, there is this thing called contact and transmission. Right? If a person is sick and you shake hands with them, and you don't have the power of God living in your life to protect you, then you can catch what they got just because you shook hands. Isn't that right? Because they pass the germs on their hands to you, and you get them into you. Okay, it's amazing people can believe that and can't believe that you can transmit life. It is natural for people to believe you can transmit death, but not life. So there is a fact to contact and transmission. You can give what you've got. But always remember, the only reason... See, laying hands on the sick is awesome because you get to see it happen. But the bad part is, you got to be there. See, there's much greater than that. I get calls from all over the world now. Hardly a week goes by that I don't get calls from Australia, South Africa, Singapore, Thailand at times. various countries around the world. I prayed for people over the phone and they've been healed. Okay, that's better than laying hands on the sick, because I didn't have to be there to do it. And it demonstrates the power of God and does not demonstrate some type of special anointing or gifting. Right? It is just believing the Word of God. Laying hands on the sick is to demonstrate and is to be a sign. Now, you'll see this. I've got to send you to break. Always remember, there's two classes of people. The believer, the sick. Got it? Mark 16, only two classes. Believers, sick. Now, you decide which class you are. There's nothing in there about sick believers. Amen? So just make a decision which class you're going to be in. Now, I understand in the beginning I asked if you were sick and you raised your hand, you need healing. That's wonderful. I have no problem with that. Well, it's not wonderful, but I don't have a real problem with it, okay? But it's not right. We should be purveyors of the Spirit of God. We ought to be first partakers of what we believe. Amen? And we shouldn't need what we have. We ought to be living out of the overflow of what we can give other people. Now that's called health, specifically divine health. Divine health is better than divine healing. Amen? And you know what? You know what the difference is between divine health and divine healing? Your choice. That's it. To believe that you can live in divine health. Believing is flipping on the switch that makes it happen. That simple. Right? So we'll talk about all this. Go to break very quickly. I can tell I'm going to have to reset my watch.